night catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombe, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Good morning. Morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Chombe. It's the time of the early morning that we look at economics, politics, trade, and everything that affects our bread and butter. We are greeting you from your number one favorite talk radio station, that is Eagle FM. We are here from the hour of 6 until the hour of 8. This is the platform where we look at what has been, what is, and we look at analysis of issues and also the possibility of looking at the future. We are saying in the world of unpredictability, you need to look at economic scenario planning, and you need to make sure that you apply all the not only economic strategies but also political strategies and see how you are going to survive, because the world has never been unpredictable before like what we see now. However, we are also having right tools, particularly technology, to be able to shape the future, and also some of the development which are happening. And it's the 30th of March 2026. Understand that March is officially coming to an end, and the question should always be, particularly when you're looking at time, the question should always be, what have we done in March? What are we going to do in April? And how are we going to be in December? And, saying development is like eating an elephant. You cannot think an elephant is not it's not such a bad example to give, especially nowadays, to say development is like eating an elephant. You can't finish it once. You have to start step by step until you finish it completely. That's why tracking progress should always be at the center of everybody's discussion, particularly when you are looking at progress. Today we'll be able to look at African Political Outlook Report, especially the 2026 Africa Political Outlook Report, and look at what are some of the opportunities and challenges in Africa, and what are the current issues which are identified, and how can we navigate through, especially looking at the continent that is facing around 15 elections this year, especially national elections, and also see what is happening. Before we look at what is happening, the good news is that Namibia have especially the Brave Warriors, they managed to beat Comoros 5-4. That is through a penalty shootout, particularly in the games of FIFA Series 2026. After a goalless 0-0 in regular time, Brave Warriors must be thanked to say it's a good thing we are supporting you, especially that time where you need us. But we must also be able to call to our, Ministry of Education, innovation, sport, art, and culture, particularly when it comes to facilities, to continue asking to say, when are the facilities going to stand, and when are the people, when are the Brave Warriors going to play at home? Because you've already passed the deadline last year. The Baroti was saying Brave Warriors would play at home before end of the year. Let us hope that will materialize, particularly this year, so that we do not have an excuse anymore to say, why are we losing? Because if you look at how our men team have been whipped in the continent, it has been really challenging. But maybe this is also a sign in the right direction to say, when it comes to sport and facilities, they must be central when it comes to, development and also improving of talent and opportunities too. And, there's something interesting, especially happening in Namibia, the power of, they call it the power of social media and also internet. You're able to remember very well, especially, I think it's 3 weeks ago when an elderly woman was arrested abusing a domestic worker. Today when I wake up, I look at, some of the picture I'm seeing on various groups here. You see that sometimes we are not sick. Sometimes we are just mistreated. And you really see the transformation that lady went through in a very short period of time. And you realize to say, if this can happen to this young lady, she looks different, very beautiful and taken care of. And you also realize that regardless of what is happening, Namibians are actually good people. And should not only be used for social media, but also to see real transformation. To say a person can really be transformed just by giving this person love, food, and a better environment. And you can really see that there is quite a change. And these are some of the positive things which are happening in Namibia. Sometimes you just need to share a story that need assistance, not for public attention, but really looking at this picture. Was really impressed by the transformation that some people, they really care about others, although there are also those who put others down or celebrate when somebody is in pain. But what I'm seeing on social media, it's really a transformation, especially that lady who was being abused. She was really suffering. If you compare the picture of 4 weeks ago and the current picture, nothing is here. And I think then Namibia should really be appreciated, particularly on that ground. And today, remember, we have the Villager newspaper. We have your content today. Do not miss out on what is on the Villager newspaper, especially when it comes to economic and domestic affairs. We'll be able to engage you on that. And we are always encouraging you to say, please share the paper, share the link, so that it's not only you, but other people too, to get an opportunity and also read economic affairs. So let's go to a short commercial break, then we can look at what is happening in the continent of Africa. Touch a little bit in the Middle East. Because there, what is happening in the Middle East, to say the war has intensified. And the question is always, who is going to back down? When is going to come to an end? Because it seems like Iran, Israel, and USA, regardless of backdoor diplomacy, the negotiation still going on, must be able to realize that the fight is intensifying, and military assets are going down one by one, whether it's the US, whether it's Israel, whether it's Iran, and the possibility of boots on the ground is there, but you just do not know how things are going to turn out, because they are saying the European Union is very angry, especially when it comes to Russia and China, to say you guys are allocating camps, allocating military assets so that Iran can hit us with precision. And they're indicating that drones currently and ballistic missile, they have improved by higher degree, particularly in terms of accuracy. To say if they miss you, they'll maybe just miss you with 10 centimeters. And it's quite very difficult out there. That is Dubai. That is Qatar, and also many other countries in the Gulf. And also to look into that content to say the Houthis in Yemen, the Houthis in Yemen has entered also the fight. Then you realize that this is it's a very dangerous game of war. And we also be able to see how things will be able to turn out. There's a lot of hypocrisy. There's a lot of misinformation. There's also a lot of AI videos. There is a narrative being pushed. I don't know which side. And what you need to know is that not every information that you are getting is true. But it's always very important to look at real conversation, especially about credible sources, and also look at real figures on what is happening, because otherwise that we have a powerful internet, that we have powerful technology, and you realize that it's also a psychological warfare, because it's also playing with people's mind and imagination to bring a lot of fear and also intimidate other countries, especially engaging with not only superpowers, but also engaging with other trading partners, to realize that when it comes to global relations, there are no permanent interest. I mean, there are no permanent friends, but you only deal with permanent interest. To say, if you are my friend today in a global affairs, tomorrow we are enemies. And when it comes to that point, it's very difficult. But don't be surprised. Don't be surprised if one day Iran and the US, they become good friends. Do not be surprised. And don't also think that when United Arab Emirates is with the USA, they're going to be there forever. You will be shocked. Maybe one day when the US and Iran, they are super good friends, maybe attacking United Arab Emirates. I'm just giving an example. I'm not saying it's not what is what's going to happen, because we have seen it many times. We've seen it more than ever. If you look at Japan now, if you look at Japan, for example, at one point, there were two atomic bombs dropped in Japan, 1945 there. And, the empire have surrendered to the US, and people were very angry about what had happened. But as we are speaking now, the friendship of Japan and USA is more strong than the friendship of USA and other countries that have been allies during, the Second World War. And you realize that regardless of what happened, it's about interest, and countries are pushing their own agenda. Then the question is always to say, which agenda are you pushing? Is it a positive agenda, or you are dancing to somebody's music? When you are dancing to somebody's music, which is actually not entirely wrong, but to what extent? To what extent is that person be able also to listen to yours when you are dancing to his music? So let's look at a short commercial break, then we'll be able to continue with the conversation.
Lipura ninge ni wapo wa Eva tere ulikoni maundu tuto ingi da ashike kapenu we utite opo we ekukulile oshasa fana nongeshe faili mehola ba iho otike kovano hile koshuan kono ngeshe faa ya kumbo kukaraya kovano okupitida mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka okupitida oipindi konu konda doi inawa minuto otukwetira o special amge tashake ngeshe faa kumarude dayo loka oponu ushendi fenawa lukumuna oijaweli nawa ninge Fada Fanoa Monica ko Eagle FM Kondura ita timwe Bari hea mi Nola natu Heari bari no hea Ile ko berewa Mura hetatu natu Bari o hetatu batatu Oma filane Eagle FM The Eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of favor.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not a fraud, it's a scandal. Why do you give a tender to somebody who knows does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM,
the views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and
Eagle. Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economy news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
The early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombe.
Easter's cheaper with extra low prices at Furman Brock. Get 2 kg Tastic Rice for $36.99. A 2-liter Coca-Cola for only $21.99. 2 kg Sunlight Hand or Auto Washing Powder for $54.99. And 9 Twin Server 2-ply Toilet Rolls for only $69.99. Hop on over to vurmanbrock.com to see more Easter bargains at WB. We care.
That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombe, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
We are continuing with Early Morning Scoop with me, David Chombe. And we need to look at what is happening in the continent of Africa, especially at key economic, strategic regions that Africa is relying on. And starting with the Democratic Republic of Congo, it stated that M23 so withdrawing from various areas in North Kivu. It's indicated that there's a situation that is surrounding a possible withdrawal by M23 rebel group, which also remain unclear. A recent report from international agencies indicating that in Northern Kivu, suggests that M23 fighters have been seen moving out of certain areas and abandoning long-held position. The group itself denies that it's pulling back. And the statement on their social media, M23 insisted that the movement currently observed on several front lines are nothing more than the routine and tactical troop relation or rotations. And the group maintained that there is no substantive withdrawal underway, since it remained firmly committed to protecting civilians, upholding confidence, and building measures, and that is also related to the Doha peace process. And remember that in the past 1 month, what Felix Tshisekedi have done is that he played, I think it's a very good cut, this one, especially when he decided to renegotiate it. He was cornered, and it's one of the president that I think have suffered a lot, especially looking at political pressures, looking at his relationship with Rwanda, and also looking at the pressure from outside. One of the things that the accusation has been there is that Rwanda has been backing up M23. And Rwanda denied that for a very long time, and until to the point where even the US have found out and has banned or give sanctions to some of the top generals in the Rwandan army. And they realize that from there, you must all be able to understand that US and DRC now are good friends. And they just recently bought a mine of one of the critical rare earth mineral in DRC. And I remember also that in the past 1 month, you know, I think it's 3 months, the things have changed. They have shifted. And also see that when you track back, for example, three weeks or so, you realize to say some of the top leaders of M23 have also been going down, especially looking at the usage of drones. You ask yourself a question to say, there is more than what you see, but it is indicated that the group is becoming a bit weaker and is withdrawing in some areas. And they are denying and indicating that it's a tactical operation. It's a tactical operation. And when you look at the history of M23, remember that it was just a group which was started in defending the refugees in DRC. But it became so powerful to that point that it wanted to take over the government, until to the point of, calling the government to negotiate and come on the table. But that is it's conflict. And when you look at this situation, look at them from a perspective of saying, these people are not just fighting for the sake of fighting. They are into critical mineral areas. And where you have minerals, there is always conflict, particularly in Africa. And if you look at the report that we're going to look at today, this is a question which is asked to say, what is the relationship between wealthy nations in terms of minerals and also translating this to human development? Because it looks like the more a country is rich in resources, the poorer it is. And remember that there is always other forces that are behind those development. So, it's also quite important to look at what is the price of oil have done, especially when it comes to trades of commodities, and also look at Africa, and also the impact that the Middle East has in African trade. And when you look at Kenya, it has a very good business of flour industry, but it's indicated that Kenya flour industry is also impacted by the Middle East war. It is stated that ongoing conflict in the Middle East threatened to cripple Kenya floriculture sector, as growers now report up to 1.4 million US dollar losses. That is just in a week. And looking on this, it stated that following the attack of Iran by the US and Israel, the consequential aspect of that attack is that it has spread hostility across the Middle East. Global trade has also taken a hit, and the economy of flour, the trade of flour, or the floriculture sector in Kenya has felt the pain, has already felt the pain. And it stated that growers in the sector that is worth 800 million, according to the Central Bank of Kenya, said that flour exports have been largely affected in both reduction in demand as well as shipping disruption. And that is war for you. And remember, if the Houthi in Yemen did what they say they were going to do, the African economy continued to be crippled because they want to cross down the road to the Red Sea. And they closed down that it would take a very, very long distance for you to move your trade commodities. And when they cross the Red Sea, realize that, it's not only about African economy, it's about European economy. That's why the fight is intensifying the fight is intensifying, and you just don't know how things are going to turn out. How things are going to turn out in that aspect. Then you should also ask yourself a question. To say with oil price increased, with oil price increased in Namibia, although it is a smaller margin, how are we going to survive after 2 months? And what other things are we expecting? Because you may not feel it now. We have already indicating to you that the price will increase, which it has happened, and also indicate that this is not only going to be the end. And I don't want to scare you. Don't be surprised after a week if this continues that we're going to have another review. I'm just indicating to you to say there must always be a plan on what can we do in terms of long term. Because even if the Strait of Hormuz open today, there is still a lot of things which need to be done, particularly logistic rearrangement, and also those countries will start rebuilding themselves because the price of oil is not coming down anytime soon, even if the war ends today. It's not going to come anytime soon because those countries who are producing oil, they are also having to spend more money on rebuilding their countries, and they will charge you more because oil is in demand, and because also that you don't trade internally, as we have stated. And interestingly, what is happening in the world is in line with our report that we are going to discuss today. That's why the question should always be to say when the oil price have shifted, what will happen in April? What will happen in April, especially looking at the situation on the ground? Because expect other commodities also to rise. Expect other commodities. I don't know what the transport industry will react and how it's going to react, especially with that little changes in the price of oil, whether it's diesel or it's petrol. Maybe April will define, or maybe mid-April will define how that of which happening in the Middle East is affecting us, and also how we need to go through that. Because if you touch the transport, if you touch the logistic, you don't only touch the truck driver, you don't only touch the logistic hub operator, but you touch the entire system, you touch the agriculture sector, and also you touch education sector, and everybody that rely on transport, especially when it comes to the way of doing business. So let us go to a short commercial break. Then from there, we'll also be able to continue looking at the business development in the continent of Africa. And we'll touch a little bit on what is happening in South Africa, especially where I think there is a race. It's indicated that when it comes to General Nkwanazi, this renewal of his contract, especially being a provincial commission. And it's an internal race of power, particularly within the police sector in SA, because there's an expectation of the top cop. There's an expectation of the top cop to go because of the charges. Because Maposa still did not take clear measures on the way forward, because the top cop is charged with some of the charges related to tender corruption that involve the businessman Vusi Musi Keta Matala, especially when you're looking at South African context and how this going to shape the future of South African judiciary, and also the entire political ecosystem, especially where you have a top cop going to answer, especially in the court. But you also see an opening in SAPS, opening in South African police service, especially when it comes to leadership vacuum. You have two police ministers on the payroll. One is on suspension, One is acting. And the National Commission is going to testify. Then the deputy, National Commissioner is on suspension. We also have the head of crime intelligence also being questioned. And you just do not know what is happening. But that is life. This life. But the question should always be, what are you learning from that aspect? And stay tuned, because we are here until the hour of 8. You can also be able to engage us, especially with the current conversation at 083-288-401. And really looking at the transformation. I see a lot of information coming in, looking at the transformation, especially with the lady that was being abused. People are really appreciating those who play the role. To say sometimes you just need to eat and feel happy. And when you compare the picture, and without really discriminating, the first picture that was shown on our social media, he was looking like he was maybe 80 something years, especially looking at that picture. But looking at now, it's a very young, beautiful lady. So sometimes people are just beautiful. It's just situation that they are going through. People are just, and you really see that this economy, or the treatment that people do, that they give others, is really, also have, Namibians that are really not good people. Because even if you show that lady now to the women who abused her, she will be shocked. She will not even recognize her. She will really not be able to recognize her. Because it's quite a huge transformation that can happen to a human being. And it can also teach us a lot to say, removing a Namibian from poverty will not take long. And some people, when you speak about AI, you speak about fast, train, you speak about jets and all these things. Some people, they just want to eat and feel happy. And you think it's a joke. Some people in Namibia, they just want to have food and, have a happy environment. Some people are not looking at the bigger things, because what they need is survival. And also just having something to be on the table. And if you have food on the table, you have clean clothes, then you are even lucky to have a supporting environment. I think that is a fundamental point of departure, especially when it comes to human development. And, stay tuned, because we are here with you until the hour of... of it.
Lipurani ngeni wapungwa eva tere ulikoni maundu tuto ingida ashike kapenu weku tete ofo ue eku kulile oshafafana nongeshe feuli mehola ma iho etike kovano hile koshuwana onongeshe faa ya kumbwa kukaraya kovano okupitida mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka okupitida oipingi konu honda doi inawa minuto otukwetida o special ange tashake ngeshe faa omarude dayo loka oponu ushe indike nawa lokumuna oijamweri nawa minge pata fanoa Monica ko Eagle FM ondora isatimwe bali heali nola natu heali bali no heali ineko mberewa mora hetatu natu bali o hetatu batatu oma filane Eagle FM the eye.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I'm planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
It's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who does not have capacity to build? Why should we do that? You know, a person that doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura. Uh-huh. And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before. Mm. It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past. Mm. And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
The views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and Eagle.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Village News.
The early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombe, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye. The eye. The eye.
Yeah, we are moving forward with Early Morning Scoop. Looking here at WTO Director General. That is Dr. Ngozi Okonjo-Iweala. He has also urged, the world to relook and also reform global trade system. Especially considering the situation in the Middle East, indicating that the old order and multilateral system we used to know has irrevocably changed. We will not get it back. We must look to the future. And that is it's an address to WTO Ministerial Conference. And looking at what has transpired, especially when it comes to the perspective of WTO, is that the trade rules remain the same, but when it comes to application and also implementation of those trade rules, you realize to say superpowers, they do not care what rules you have, they care what they want. That's why she is indicating that when it comes to the Middle East, this has not only changed the trade, system, but it has also triggered a major global energy crisis. This has really triggered a major general, global energy crisis. Because when you look at, if you stop the trade of oil, nobody coming in, nobody coming out, you disrupt the trade system. Must be able to realize that current race you are speaking, the nuclear facilities of Israel and also Iran, don't know if they are obliterated, as the word of Trump is saying, but it's like they are hitting each other's nuclear facilities, and the agency that is dealing with nuclear has warned the possibility of contamination, especially in Israel and also in Iran, because when it comes to what is happening now, they are hitting facilities, and they are hitting each other's energy facilities. And here the Houthis, in the weekend, the Houthis of Yemen has released ballistic missiles against Israel. And you can also see the chaos that is around the world. And you also see the chaos that is in Iran and also in Israel. So the mayors of towns are very angry, especially with the government of Netanyahu. They are very angry. People are complaining People are protesting, not only in Israel, not only in Israel, but in the US too. But when it comes to Iran, there's an indication to say if you are protesting anti-government protest, it's not going to be allowed, because their punishment are way more worse, especially when it comes to Iran. If you don't obey those rules, no death is guaranteed, execution there by hanging. It's a guaranteed, particularly if you are against the state. That's why they are calling the regime. The government of Iran has maintained a very long time in power, particularly when it comes to putting on authority, putting on Islamic and Muslim principles. And you understand that you have a very, very long way to go. And my question is always Namibia, to say when these people are fighting, because we always used to get the last part of the meal. We always used to get that assistance. How are we going to do it? People must be put into confidence to say this is how it is going to be done. Because people, they also are national panic on what happens, especially in those that are already in worse situation. Imagine a person is already not able to get the bread on the table. Person is already struggling to get the finance, and the same person also be forced to pay more when it comes to commodities, and also even when it comes to transportation, because obviously if April comes and we have another review, the price of transportation is not even negotiable, because those who are in the transport industry, they understand that when you have a high cost of oil, you must also have adjust in terms of your tax fare or bus fare, especially when you are traveling, so that you don't only make profit, but you also keep the standard of economic operation, because you can operate on a loss and you will not survive in that aspect. And yeah, while we are there, understand that France has denied that it was pressured by US to withdraw SA. France has denied that it was pressured by United States of America to disinvite South Africa to attend G7 summit. Remember that South Africa is a economic power in Africa, and also is a global influencer, which is undeniable, has been invited to attend the G20 summit as an observer. But the United States of America said, no, if you are coming, if South Africa is coming, we are not coming. That is why the top seven powerful countries, economic power, they couldn't accommodate South Africa. And is when it comes to France, France indicated that no, we did not disinvite South Africa because of the pressure, but we made that choice consistent with our decision to hold a streamlined G7 focus on geo-economic issues. And he did not respond to the question about whether an invitation had actually been issued to South Africa. So it's quite a contradiction. And these are the small things that can be able to tell you that people are not happy with each other. These are the signs that you don't need to ignore. They are not actually just red flags, but these are the signs that you cannot ignore, especially when you look at that relationship between South Africa and also United States of America. And in the latest, 19 hours ago, okay, Kenya faced deadliest flood with at least 108 people already killed. So when it comes to Kenya, authority has indicated that 2,700 families have been displaced across the country, and it's heavy rainfall and also flood. Although there are some areas that the situation has become better, but when it comes to Kenya, it's to say people are dying of flood there. And it's already over 100 people. And that was a death toll that was released just yesterday. And also indicating that when it comes to 2,700 families displaced, it says a lot about the climate situation in Kenya. So Kenya has been also not away from a lot of troubles. It's also not been away from a lot of trouble. Because here is flood. Here is discovered graveyards, not even known what happened, especially in that part of Africa. Let us look at NHP, then we can look at conversation for today. Then from there, we can also be able to look at the Villager newspaper.
Titanium, the perfect fit between platinum and silver, complementing our existing benefit options. We always offer a comprehensive healthcare experience. NHP, the premier member-centric medical aid fund. Visit NHP today at nhp.com.na. NHP, we're about you.
Yeah, as I indicated today, there is a recent report, and I think it's a responsibility of everybody to make sure that you are a reader, and also to make sure that you understand what is happening, especially with not only the generic aspect of Africa, but also understanding deeper on what is happening in other countries. There's a political outlook report that was recently released in Brussels, in Belgium, that is looking at 2026, the state of African governance, future, looking at the future. It was recently released 27 March 2026, and that was an overall analysis on African growth, political landscape, debts, and fiscal pressure, and also to looking at shifting geopolitics and partnership, competition for natural resources, particularly the critical minerals, which is intensifying, and also extra influence from, Europe, America, China, and Russia, because everybody want to look at who has control of Africa's strategic sectors, and also what Africans should do, especially looking at that regard. And the other thing also, which is indicated, so to look at security and also conflict concern in the continent. And the most important thing, and the very most important, or at the center of that, is Africa and democratic governance. That is looking at what have happened, particularly when it comes to elections in Africa and what other countries faced with, especially this year. Indicated that we have 15 countries that are going to elections this year. Uganda has already started and done in January. You have Congo, Congo Brazzaville, which has also done. And when you look at countries such as Benin, you look at Cabo Verde, then you also look at Djibouti. And Djibouti know that the election in Djibouti also defined the future of African trade. Because although there are those who thought Djibouti is a satellite state, look at Djibouti, they're on top of North Africa. You realize that it's also an entrance to Africa. It's an entrance to Africa. To control one of the critical hubs, trade hubs in the world, especially when it comes to shipment. And you have presence of, interesting thing about the trade of Djibouti. You have presence of almost over five, armies there from different part of the world. where countries are protecting their interest. You have France, you have the US, you also have the Chinese bases there, particularly protecting their bread and interests, particularly in a critical trade routes. And you also have Libya, presidential election that is in April. You have Ethiopia, you have Somalia, Algeria, Sao Tome. So Zambia election is this year. It has already been 5 years. And looking at Zambia, understand that that also defines the future of the politics of Zambia, the future of HH, and also the politics of Zambia. And remember that we are going to April, and the former president of Zambia is still not buried, who died mid last year, June, July there. But he's still not buried. People are still fighting in court. The whole president is not an ordinary David or ordinary G and Joe. He's a whole head of state. Full head of state. Who was not overthrown. He was democratically defeated. But with the state honors, still now, I don't want to say the guy's in the mortuary, but really, this is Africa for you. People are still fighting. And it can also tell you a lot to say when it comes to Africa, the manifestation of what's happening at the family level can also happen. There is nothing that can limit it to happen at the national level. And with Zambian former president not buried, I think it also defines the future of elections. Especially this year in Zambia. And yeah, one will also be able to look at developmental models. The report indicating that Africa entered 2026 at a pivotal moment. It remained one of the most and one of the world's fastest growing regions. And the current focus plays large share of the 15th fastest expanding economy over the next few years on the continent. And by mid-century, Africa population is projected to approach 2.5 billion people, according to more than a quarter. And that is accounting to a quarter of humanity. And that will be able to double the expectation. And also being driven by a youthful population. Now, then the report has also looked at policy pragmatism, models, and without dogma. And in simple terms, the report look at development framed on ideological terms. And this is also one of the things that we have discussed to say when it comes to Africa and development. This conversation is also indicating the aspect of ideology to say, are you a capitalist? Are you a mixed economy? And the report indicating that this really does not define, because it does not define the future of African development. And also to say, policies that are made, they are not focusing more on ideologies, but also looking at what is working for them. What is working for them. It is stated that a decade ago, debates about Africa development were often framed by ideological terms, state-led versus market-led, Washington consensus versus developmental state, liberalism versus, liberalization versus protectionism. Now in 2026, that framing has largely collapsed, not because of debates were resolved, but because failure on all sides have been too visible to ignore. And know that sometimes, especially when other countries are speaking about African characteristics or their country's characteristics, to say you cannot just say you liberalize your economy. then you allow anybody to come and compete with you. But it also doesn't mean that you can use protectionism approach to make sure that your infant business are just in an incubation center and cannot be allowed to go and play with the big boys. But in this aspect, it's to indicate that policy ideology have changed and the countries are focusing on what they can be able to do on their own, especially when it comes to trade policies and policies of development. Not really to say you are a communist, you are a liberal, or you are a Marxist, but looking at the better models. And this I indicated that this is one of the most richest content report. When you look at it, it also look at Africa, continental free trade area, as an industrial transformation project. And the report indicated that although much effort have been done, especially when it comes to creating a single market of 1.4 billion people and raising to 1.7 billion and projected market of 6.7 trillion by 2030. The report has also indicated that there is still slow progress, especially when it comes to continental free trade area. There is also the infrastructure gap is not simply a technical problem, but you also have infrastructure gap to say if you want to advance your trade, you have infrastructure. The same thing that we are speaking about in Namibia, to say we want financial inclusion or we want AI to be given or people to utilize AI for development. But you ask yourself a question, how many of Namibians have cell phones that are smart? You may think they are a lot. How many of them have cell phones that are smart? How many of them understand what AI can do? How many of them can benefit from that? And the same question that we can ask with fintech, same question that we can ask with banking, and also to say, you don't have infrastructure. Do you have technological infrastructure? Do you have a faster internet connection? And so I indicated that on the other side, Elon Musk and his company, Starlink, stated they are going to appeal. They feel like they were not fairly treated. Indicated that they are going to appeal the decision of not allowing them to operate in Namibia. And we still wait and see. Say a powerful company versus a state like Namibia, to say, are we going to bend or are we going to stand with our rules? Are we going to stay with our laws? But they are saying they are going to appear. They are not happy with how we treated them. And those are the development. And the report also look at manufacturing industry, digitalization, and maybe what we need to look into more is the aspect of new financial architecture and African ownership in its emergency. When you read that aspect, it is stated that beneath this sectoral models lies a quiet but consequential shift in how African governments finance development, position themselves in global system. The post-independence were marked with aid-centric partnership with access to finance and trade and security guarantee was mediated through external design framework. At present, things are looking more on consensual aid that is declining, and Africans are looking at various areas, especially the eastern part of the world, and even the new trajectory of debt servicing, because Africa is no more looking at aid-related development, stated that there is progress which is done, and there's also a progress that is also done in the aspect of green finance, which is stated here to be an opportunity and also a test, particularly to the African, continent. And looking into this, especially with faster growing aspect of technology, there are developmental challenges also. Looking at infrastructure, looking at the level of technology, and also looking at the investment too. Let's look at IMBA and come back shortly.
Great news! IMBA just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of IMBA? Get all exclusive features for just $36 a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3-month subscription, 10% discount for 6-month subscription, and 25% discount for 12-month subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything IMBA has to offer at an unbeatable price. IMBA, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Yeah, in short, the report on African political outlook, looking at opportunities and challenges that are faced with Africa. And looking the next 10 months, especially looking at how Africa is going to shape its democracy, because you have around 15 countries that are going to elections, including Zambia. And there is also a report on the past elections to say, in terms of democracy, there are also challenges, particularly with authoritarian aspect, and also looking at the past elections that went without any condemnation. Look at the election in Tanzania, and you can really see. Somebody have asked a question to say, how come Namibia did not appreciate and did not congratulate Tanzania? But maybe you can really think to say, no, our government is also sometimes not really happy with what's happening. But they decided just to stay quiet and calm and say, no, I'm not going to congratulate that. Although Tanzania is really our good friend, especially Namibia. But that election which happened, nobody was happy with it. Nobody was happy with such kind of elections where you are competing. And it's stated here, say, you are competing, but you are crippling your enemy or your opponent to say. How can you play soccer with somebody who you tie his legs and his arms so behind his back? How is the person going to play? Because you have election where all the major opposition parties are in jail, and the military is present. What kind of election is that? Even now, when you look at Uganda, we may really be happy with statistics and data on development, but really, going to election and you know exactly that the possibility for you to win, it's not even 1%. You're just going there for formality. You also need to understand that we have a lot of things that we need to do. Governance and corruption, also stated. Look at the case of South Africa. It's a very good example. To say when it's come to governance, come to corruption, and also the weakness into institutions, you also need to look into that aspect of, institutions in look at SA. You can also look at ourselves. Let us not only look at SA, but we can also look at ourselves. If you look at SA now, especially with their police system, you are just shocked to see how things are going to work out. And there's already a deployment of the military in crime hotspot, you realize that we really need to continue building institutions so that we can move effectively. And, you know, looking at, and this is something that people must really speak about. Coming back to Namibia, coming back really to Namibia, and look at what happened at Namibia Airport, Namibia Airport Company. It was stated that you know, those who hacked the system and also took out the data, they've released the data on the dark web, and this is compromising the institution, especially looking at the financial records, look at the past projects. Then you also look at you know, the flight tickets arrangement of the past records. And when these documents are on the dark web, anybody can take them, anybody can see them. And it's really showing that you know, we do, should not only speak, because this thing of cybersecurity, you just have a targeted institution, and you can really see that you can really see that we have an opening, we have a loophole in our system, because we don't even, sometimes we are hacked and we don't even know that we are hacked. Sometimes people stole data and you realize it later. Maybe you are just reminded by even a call for those who are demanding ransom. And you can really see that this can destroy Namibian institutions if we are not up our game. And so to say, Ukraine need additional assistance, especially when it comes to maybe investment in fighting the cyber issues. Or maybe also to look at other institutions to be invested into, especially when it comes to cyber, because you realize to say, we just speak about cyber and we don't do anything. And I'm still waiting for next month financial stability report to realize to see, is cyber crime or cyber risk still a major risk in Namibia? Because if you can hack, or if you can, if you have somebody who has power, and look at Namibia Airport Company, what if they want to come and also look at the key institution? Because if you lose those data, you lose those information, you become weak, you become open, and other people also not be able to trust with you and do business, and it also impact, you know, tourism in that aspect. But cyber security, it's not a new thing. When you look at what people were also joking about in the weekend, is to realize that even the director of FBI could not be safe from you know, Iranian hackers. The director of FBI was not safe from Iranian hackers, because it's an indication that his personal email was hacked and a lot of data were taken out. And some of them are compromising pictures. And you just understand that when it comes to warfare, there's also a battleground on cyber there that need to be covered. If you are just going to a gunfight with a knife, you will not come out. You will not come out, because you know, people have advanced technology, and that cyber, if we lose those data, that will be the end of our financial system. It will also be the end of the way we do business. And you don't know how many institutions were forced to pay secretly to let their data not be published. Who knows what happened? Who knows what happened? Because if we are not handling cyber really carefully, if you're not learning from the private financial institutions, look at commercial banks. Commercial banks are some of the most, they have most advanced security system in terms of defending themselves from cyber attackers. Because when you lose your data, you also lose your financial power. Because people are really asking a question to say, this thing of digitalizing the digitalizing identities and all this thing is a good thing. But how? What is the guarantee of my information to be protected? Because they are already out there. They are already out there. And putting us in every system, yes, is good. And it's make life easy. But you have something that we use to protect that information. Or it's just being put there because it's formality. Or we also have an e-card. We also have, a digital passport in the future. Maybe a digital ID. But what about the other side of the coin, where other people can come and use those identity and do business with them, or identifying your name, or maybe also blackmail you? Because really, this is really a very waste thing, because you cannot say these people did not steal anything or everything is still intact, where you just see the financial or the meeting that you were heading, your internal, even those things that are called internal document. If a board has an internal meeting and that is just for that, even just for top executives, then you see that meeting and information, open information can disrupt the reality and can also disrupt people's views. Because all the secret things that you spoke about, what is written in those minutes, they are now on dark web and people are reading and see. Maybe Namibia Airport Company should be our last lesson to learn that cyber security or cyber risk in Namibia is still a major concern. Because if statistics are indicating on Interpol indicating that Africa is losing almost 5 billion a year, that is US dollars, because of these cyber incidents. However, it's also indicated that about 90% of the incidents, they go unreported. Then you must be able to know that we are in serious problems, particularly when a developing country like Namibia is targeted by those international hackers, to say, who is backing these guys? And do we have capacity to trace them back and catch them? Do you have Namibians who can go into that system and trace them to say, you are here, and trial them? Because that did not only compromise the institution document, so compromising the standing of our state. Because if you just the heck and all the records, you have them, then you also put the country at risk. Because now secrets are revealed, secrets are put out there, and you're just shocked. And people are just praying that their documents are not seen, but it's on the dark web. Things are released there. And these are really criminals that need to be catched, because you can't do that to Namibia. And just hack people. And also make sure that you relieve their information out there, so that we are underestimated. But I think that should be a wake-up call to other institutions too, to say, put on a cyber bulletproof, because those who are working in the darkness are still here and still manipulating those system, and also try to get into your information. And also to learn, to say, when you attend a conference on cyber security, go there and learn. Yes, if people overpowered us by their technological superiority, maybe yes, but we must not just be unaware of what cyber crisis is, what cyber crime is, and what are the basic tools that we need to use, especially when it comes to protecting our digital ecosystem. Everything is going digital, but even within the digital environment, it's also hot. It's very hot out there. And I'm feeling very sorry, especially to those who were in charge of protecting the system and those who are in charge of storing the system. But that should be a lesson that we must be able to learn. And also the thing of liking things to say, not in terms of the institution, but in terms of Namibians to say, no, there is this digital thing. This digital thing, let's take it. There are these cheaper computers being bought here. Let's take them. Or there is this engineer from abroad. Because sometimes if you are using your own people too, because I was speaking to one of the tech experts, particularly last week, who indicated to say, the issue of cybersecurity can also be related to corruption. To say how many authentic companies.
Celebrate Namibia's Independence Month with amazing deals at Exodus Investment CC. Get solar lights for just $100 Namibian. Resource stock, CCTV, Wi-Fi cameras, TV mounts, DSTV and GoTV satellite TV accessories, plus replacement remotes for TVs, air conditioners and many other electronic accessories only at Exodus Investment CC. Visit us today at Shop 7, Black Chain Shopping Center in Katutura, next to Bank Ventuk. We are open daily, including public holidays, from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. for your convenience. Call or WhatsApp 081-3191-395 and find us on social media. Exodus Investment CC, your trusted store for quality electronics and accessories. Hurry! Our Independence Special runs until the 30th of April 2026. And remember, Exodus Investment CC. We career countrywide. Call us now.
When life starts squeezing me like a lemon, I know what to do.
With Express Credit's easy payday loans, you can get up to $9,000 to help ease your financial squeeze in under 15 minutes. Visit expresscredit.com.na. Express Credit, money when you need it.
And while we are there, Glenn, Communication Regulatory Authority, and also the institution that is so responsible for national cybersecurity defense and also assessing of this incident, has responded and has indicated that based on the assessment, the data may be, the data may include airport permit system records, parking management information, engineering and project documentation, financial records, and internal reports. And also stated that the process is ongoing, especially verifying the full scope of the leakage and also establishing whether any sensitive information has been affected by the data breach. And looking at this communication, I must be able to indicate that what other things are not sensitive? Which one is defining sensitive information? Because to me, I think if you speak about financial records, those are already sensitive information. If you speak about internal reports, because if something is internal, these are things to be known by public. If you are speaking about the project documentation, tendering, and planning, these are not, I think, all these things are sensitive information. It's already, it's a bad news. It's actually a very bad news. And I think the discussion which I was indicating, especially with the hacking of Namibia Airport Company, one tech expert gave a discussion and indicated to say sometimes We must also look at people that we are giving tenders to put on our systems. We must also look at people who are storing our data. Because one of the things that he indicated is that if you have an institution and you have finance to fund somebody to protect your system, to install a system for you, you must not only look at a person because it's cheap, or look at a person because you know. Look at the person who can do the job. Imagine I have a responsibility to look for somebody to put on a system or protecting my computing system. And I just take my friends and maybe fund somebody, but not really competent, or take somebody who can give me a kickback. Just because of that, that on its own can compromise the whole institution, because if you do not use authentic and clear people that know the job, then you are defeated. I'm not saying it's what happened to Nairobi Airport Company. It's just an indication to say one of the things that can happen, especially if you don't invest in your tools, is that of taking somebody that does not have experience in dealing with sensitive information. Because if you look at tender documentation, if a person can go to your financial records, then know that the person can do anything. Know that you are really in trouble. But the future is what matters. The future is what matters to say. In the world of technology that we are looking into, when we are speaking about everyone is going to be technologically smart, do we have measures to protect those ones? Do we have measures to protect those ones? Do we have that education too? If we don't have, what are we doing about it? So let's look at a short commercial break. Then from there, we'll be able to look at the Villager newspaper to say, what do we have in the content of the Villager newspaper for today? What is inside our economic paper? And also encouraging you to like, share, and also make sure that you tell your friend about the Villager newspaper, because here is where you get almost everything that you need, especially when it's coming to economic news, vacancies, sales, and other relevant information.
Lipuraninje no wapuwa eva tere ulikoni maundu tuto ingida Ashike kapenu uwe kutite opo uwe eku kulile Oshafa fana nongeshefe ili mehola mo Iho otike kovano hile koshuala Kono ngeshefa ya kumbwa kukaraya kovano Okupitida mo Eagle FM otuna evi tota njuka Okupitida oipindi konu Honda Day inawa Minuto otuko tira o special Ange tashake ngeshefa kumarudi dayo loka Oponu ushendi fenawa nukumuna oijaweri nawa Ninge Pada fano na Monica ko Eagle FM Kondora itatimwe bali heari Nola natu heari bali no heari Ine konderewa Mura hetatu natu Bali o hetatu batatu Oma ilane Eagle FM Di ae.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, and I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
So not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who you know does not have capacity to build? Why should you do that? You know a person who doesn't have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in parliament, let me not take up my Katatura menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in Katatura.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to
be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the
views and opinions expressed by our guests and callers are not those of Eagle FM and
Eagle. Want to know
itself.
About Namibia's latest business and economy news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
The early birds catches the worms. That's right. Tune in to Early Morning Scoop with David Chombe, where he unpacks global affairs, analyze issues, dive into the aspects of human development, connecting policymakers with the citizens, and encouraging critical, constructive, and positive criticism Monday to Friday from 6 a.m. to 8 a.m. Don't miss out.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Yeah, it's 38 minutes past the hour of 7, and you are listening to Early Morning Scoop with me, David Chombe. I know some of you are still on your way to work, and some of you are still sleeping, which is a bad thing for the economy. This is not a bad thing for the Namibian future. You can't be sleeping now unless you came from work already. You must stand up even if you are not feeling well. Even if you're retired, stand up and go and look at the sun. Look at what you need to do for your country. Because sleeping really is not a very good thing. You need to do what can you do best. Wake up and see. Wake up and talk to people. Wake up and strategize and plan and think. Even standing up to think. Because, you know, there is a lot that we can do. Like sleeping and wait for somebody to come and assist us. Because, you know, one thing which we also need to look at is that when you look at somebody who is born and has almost everything in terms of health, but a person just does not have maybe a job. But when you look at somebody who does not have legs and is out there selling airtime, or somebody who does not have, or who is sick but is pushing himself. And it's a paradox of life. Those who have everything in terms of health and power are not doing anything. And those who are disadvantaged at some level, they are pushing. You realize to say, why are you wasting time and energy? Why are you wasting a good, healthy body on complaining and gossip if you can stand up and do something, if you can think, if you can finish that course, and you can also be able to run that business, or you can be able to apply for that job, because laziness and just sleeping, unless you are doing the work of thinking, because they are saying strategizing before moving is also work, because you can't be sleepy if you are lying on your bed and you are thinking about solutions. That is better. But don't think for too long, because too much thinking will just become a theorist. But we need a pragmatic approach on things. So, what is on top of the Villager newspaper today is fuel. Fuel to say, fuel under recovery to be subsidized with $500 million. That is among oil shock that reached Namibia. To say with that little improvement or with that increase in terms of the price of petrol and diesel, understand that the government of Namibia has also used or allocated half a billion, that is 500 million. To subsidize oil price and understand this to say, when you are speaking about economic defensive mode, is that you are protecting your citizens so that you will not have, economic catastrophe. That money, 500 million, is going to be put at energy fund. Remember that Namibia has an energy fund that is has been used for a very long time to defend the country's economy, particularly when you look at electricity, when you look at oil price, when they are increasing, they are not. That is not the actual price. And just to give you a simplified example to say, think about this. The price of electricity that you are paying now currently, with our complaint when we are saying it's very expensive, it's like you are buying that on sale. Or it's like somebody have assisted you because you are already assisted by a government to pay for other charges. It's already assisted you. Even the price of electricity the price of oil that is going to come now. Yes, it's increasing, but the government has put money. And that is showing how dangerous it is, especially our need for energy and infrastructure, particularly in that area. We come back shortly.
Eshi wataloka umekwe mbelo taveli pulanga helipi ngengo vamo no uya kofikola no 10th gen iPad ipopo ya dimo shipaketi. Top score instant. Uyaita pufindano talishambula lo kushuna kofikola mwondo maeveja vainu milongo mbali na hamano. Wapauni ngo mfindani wakamweko mo iPad aveli vahetatu ovo tavaka findana ilo manu kavaucha kwa ipumbi wa fikola yungushu ya dola vili mwe dana mibia oshipu ne mwono lando kashako oko KG mwe ele KKG dilimbali ko top score instant. Oku jamo fitola keshe moshi longwa shiche mdeto SMS o shicha instend totumu kombali oneveli vatatu nombali efi afaneli otali kulmo milongo natunali mwe amaricha mondoma eveja vaino milongo mpani na hamano e mangono malandula fanu odo dino kulandurwa top score a proud product of Namibi Mills.
You know this just for April that is half a billion on the table to say we are going to be protected because of the increasing price of oil, so that we'll survive. But even if we continue in that situation, you ask yourself a question of for how long are we going to be on a defensive mode? Maybe it's also time to get these numbers correctly and realize to say if 500 million is put on was going to be used from the National Energy Fund just for the government to absorb other, cost. How much would be spent in 3 months, in 6 months, and know exactly when is the price of oil going to come down, or we are already going to be like this, because you are defending, and until what time? Because being defending the economy is to protect the citizens from suffering. It's the same with our electricity. We are complaining about the electricity is very expensive. Imagine without the subsidized, where will it be? And it's not going to end now. Maybe things will also change in the future. What is this telling you? This is already telling you that the time for you to invest in oil and energy infrastructure is more than what is needed now, especially looking at other countries. And I also want to observe the reaction, the trends of the price of oil in Angola. I just want to see the trend of the price of oil in Nigeria, and also to see how they are navigating that, especially looking at them being able to look internal. Particularly when you look at Tariko Dangote and the refinery. When Dangote says, no, I got you. You are not going to move yet, I got you. And I'm going to supply you. I need to observe that development and also realize that those who invested in their refinery during the rainy season, during the dry season, they are surviving. Those who invested in their refinery, when Angola was struggling during the dry season, Zambia say, give me 26% to buy in Robito refinery. So that when trouble comes, we are going to work together. What did Namibia do? during rainy season. What did we do during rainy season to make sure that we are going to protect our economy? And when it comes to the sale of oil, we are going to be positioned somewhere. That is a question you should ask yourself. What did we do in terms of energy? And what are we going through? Can it be that some of the problems that we are going through is not really the Middle East problem? It's because of the decision that we took 20 years ago. It's because of the decision of being timid to invest in bigger projects where we are just thinking about, no, it's going to fail. Maybe if it had failed already, we would be somewhere already now. And my concern is only on electricity, because oil has already gone up. Even when it's subsidized with half a billion. And really, looking at this number and looking at this finance, you really start to see that some of the things are not really adding up, especially if you look at this number and you also look at budget investment in some institutions. This number, and they look at budget investment, you say sometimes, okay, yes, the money is there to defend our economy, but is money equally distributed, or is money distributed properly, particularly looking at key institutions? But that is our economic defense mode strategy, and we are happy on that. Let's see how things are going to turn out. They stated that page 3, City of Windhoek needs 900 million to service 67,000 plots. That is what the City of Windhoek needs. Get more detail by reading it, that article by Matthias Sangala. Yeah, looking at page 4, I think it's the Portuguese experience at Alta. And, if you want to enjoy, if you want to enjoy Portuguese wine, fine wine, and sushi, it's look at page four of the Villager newspaper. Then you also look at the wine tasting. You know, that will be on the 3rd of April, 2026, and you can also do your reservation there. It's Portuguese fine wine and sushi. And you can just pay $600 per person. Get to that time, get to that opportunity of experience, especially looking at page 4. And you know, some of this money, you spend them and you get that experience. $600 per person. And what's so interesting is that don't only focus on don't only focus on Portuguese wine and sushi. That is also the area where you are going to meet people. Because some people, they look at a conference, they look at the money, say, no, that is a lot of money. Yes, it's a lot of money. But people that you are going to meet there, these are the people that could have taken you maybe 20,000 before you meet them. But enjoy that fine wine and take that 600 or maybe 1.2, if it's you and madam, and go and have that experience. Because in Namibia, we don't invest in experience. But when it comes to that aspect, instead of using that that 600 to drink in the street and beat the people up after all, take that, go to a wine tasting, and learn, experience good things once in a while. and move forward. That is page 4. Looking at page 5, you'll also be able to look at approval improvement for window building plans. To say there is a quite a positive change in infrastructure development. Look at that article by Lois Shimi. And looking at page 6, we are still speaking about oil and gas, to say civil society is very concerned about inadequate basic information on oil and gas activity concerns. To say when we are speaking about the first oil, say the civil society are saying they are not happy. There's not enough information, especially on development in terms of oil and gas. Just to say the oil is coming, is oil coming, or the oil has already come, or when is going to come, and what level you are in. And, you know, something being operated that it was never operated before, or that we do not know ourselves, Namibia, is quite very difficult to say, are you guys drilling or you are shipping? But the question is also that civil society do not have clear information. Let's take the caller. Good morning.
Morning, David. How are you?
Good. How is the morning?
Fine.
Hmm.
Yeah. Ah, for me, man. It doesn't really pay me much if South Africa was just to go and observe it. And you can still observe it from away, from afar.
And yeah, remember, I think
South Africa is also busy with our own internal issues.
Yeah.
Especially this week, where they have been having some, you know, pressure issue of conferences, whatever, all these people are organizing themselves.
Yeah.
So, I for me, it doesn't really pain me.
No, you know, yeah, because look, ne, it's not only about the invitation. The invitation is courtesy to say we are still in good standing. What this is telling you that they are trying to push out South Africa to all Western influence, and that is not only dangerous to South Africa. It's also dangerous to us. People get angry when we compare ourselves with South Africa. Is to say if it's true that the U.S. has influenced South Africa not to attend the G7, that shows that the tension is so deep, and it's not going to end there. It also means that it's ready to cause economic pain to South Africa one way or the other, because the relationship is not well. And you also look at what South Africa say to say our relationship is going beyond the current term of office. It means that we cannot wait for Trump to go so that we can continue working with the U.S. Have you seen where things are going?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because of that pressure. I understand. But life still goes on. What is it that is going to hinder? Is it going to hinder some kind of bilateral kind of agreement?
No. It's not about life is still going on. It's also about what you can gain. Because don't think America is not only bad. And they are not only people who make wrong decisions. They are also great help from there. And, you know, keeping the relationship is, you know, if you have to, it's very important. Because if you just have to say no, you know, these guys are exploiting us, so we must just go. That is emotion. Because at the end of the day, you look at the number of people who are suffering. That's why we always find ourselves into the countries are at a very difficult position. But what is telling you is that these guys are not done fighting.
No, they are not done fighting because Trump by himself, even if he's going to regret also very soon, so he keep on fighting those kind of war, emotional war, psychological war, whatever you call them. But the issue is that he's still going to be on the other side. South Africa will still be powerful. The influence that South Africa has and the relationship that they have with many other countries, It will still be moving on very well.
Yeah.
But they understand. Even if you say it, yes, this is disinvited because of the other pressure. I know Macron is also is very strong, but maybe he just had to adhere this time around. But in the long process, I think he will stand on his own. Because after all, it was the only country, I think, President, who was he mentioned that when the issue of Palestine, there was a time he really declared that, this one is a genocide that Israelis are doing. So, of course, because of the situation now, you might not want to disagree much with France and others. And maybe it also came very late, you know.
Yeah.
So you might also find a way of making sure that they are really dealing, they are in good terms with South Africa and other countries. So now the election that you were talking about that's coming in those countries that you were mentioning.
Yeah.
I know many a times...
This Easter, the road chooses no favorites, and someone is waiting for you at home. So ask yourself before you drive, is your speed worth a ticket? Are your tires safe? Can you be seen? And are you sober enough? Make the right choice and respect the road rules this Easter holiday. Do the right thing and save lives.
This message was brought to you by the National Road Safety Council.
Yeah.
Yeah, in conclusion... Can the people, many countries not learn from Namibia, actually? Our young democracy.
What are you teaching them?
Of course, you teach them about the democratic principles, the values, the norms, and at least just to get an example from us.
Yeah.
The succession process. That it has been taking place in our country without much frictions and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
I just believe that Namibia can be a good model for, lesson for many other countries.
No, it's a good thing. They can come and benchmark in terms of democratic process. But we can also go and benchmark to them, especially how they deal with... we just need to learn from each other.
Yes. But for us, since we are the example in terms of mundaning and, just accommodating each other and the way we correct this and things like that. But people are still fighting and they still trouble. When you hear election coming in this country, your heart is already beating.
Everybody has
the way we do it in Namibia.
That's true.
And many other countries.
I agree with you.
So anyway, thank you very much. I have been listening and I'm happy that you are there to interact with us.
Thank you very much.
Welcome.
Yeah, that brought us to the end of our conversation. As I indicated, make time, read The Villager. Like and share, and tell the neighbor what is stated in The Villager newspaper. And also, send that e-paper on WhatsApp just to five people in your contacts. Because sometimes the best thing you can do is to share information, and the person will see what they can do. Because don't just read and keep quiet. Just send to five people that you can see, and. No, that to bring us to the end of our conversation, we need to leave you the good heads of the Big Mac to unpack the day. For me, David Shombe, bye-bye for now. See you around.